Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's August 13, 2011, and this is episode 293. I've briefly touched on backing up in various episodes over the last 6 years, but following on from a conversation this week with Matt Marshall, a great photographer from the UK, I decided to wrap a few ideas, including some of Matt's, into this week's episode. Thanks for all of the thought-provoking conversation this week, Matt, and good luck in getting your backup and access solution set up in the coming weeks. Let's look at both backing up and accessing our images at home and backing up in the field today. Matt's queries and feedback were mainly around backing up and accessing his photos at home, so we'll look at that first. As laptop computers become more and more powerful, I'm noticing more and more people making a notebook PC or a MacBook Pro, for example, their main computer. Even if you sometimes need more power and have, you know, you have to have a beefier desktop style computer to work on as well, laptops can now deal with just about anything that we can throw at them, including running the latest versions of Adobe Photoshop and Lightroom for Mac and Windows, and of course Aperture for Mac users. Despite the incredible increase in power and speed though, and the innovation that we see in things like compact flash cards and as well as the computers, one thing that just doesn't seem to make quite the same leap forward is the hard disk. Sure, we're seeing larger drives each year, and you know, I now use 3 terabyte drives to store and back up my photos. The 3.5 inch drives are also usually less money for, you know, double the size that were available just a year ago even. But still, progress is slow, especially with the 2.5 inch drives that we see in laptop style computers. And the basic design of the hard drive in general hasn't changed for years. As of August 2011, I'm looking at Apple's online store to see that you can now order a MacBook Pro with a 750 gigabyte hard drive, which is a reasonable size, but it's the slower 5400 RPM hard disk. With no change in price, you can select the 500 gigabyte with a faster RPM of 7200. But, you know, just 6 months ago, I paid a premium to have one of these 500 gigabyte, 7,200 RPM discs installed into my MacBook Pro because I wanted the faster hard disk access. I didn't go for a solid state drive as they were still way too expensive for a decent sized drive. Even today, if you want a 512 gigabyte solid state disc, you're going to have to pay an extra $1,100 or 100,000 yen in the Japan store. Here's the problem, though. Most people, once you've been photographing for more than a few years, or even a few months, you end up with a library of images that can no longer practically be stored on the local hard drive. And this is where Matt was coming from with his communication with me this week. We have to figure out a way to back up our images outside of the computer and access them when necessary. One of Matt's ideas was to buy an Apple Airport Extreme base station. This is basically a Wi-Fi base station with a USB port, and Matt is thinking of attaching multiple hard drives to this to back up and access his images, as well as doing Time Machine backups of his MacBook Pro. As Matt has a reasonably small library of images at the moment, this would probably be fine. Really, you know, if you've got a huge library of images, it can take a long time to back them up. But once they're on there, even with a large library, it can still be an easy and convenient way to access your images. I also access some of my images over Wi-Fi too, and it works well. By the way, the Apple Airport Extreme is fully compatible with Windows, but if you simply can't allow yourself to buy something with an Apple name on it, then don't worry, there are plenty of other routers and base stations that act very much the same as the Airport Extreme. I have a Buffalo Air station that supports 802.11n, which is currently the fastest Wi-Fi available. And this also has a USB port for attaching hard disks. I have tried using hard disks shared via my air station, but I decided to change my setup. After switching to my MacBook Pro as my main machine, one of the other things that I needed to think of was my cloud backup. I have used Mozy in the past, and I now use Backblaze for my cloud backup of images. And these require that the hard drives are connected to a computer. To make this possible, I decided to repurpose the Mac Mini that I used to use to create this podcast on as a backup machine. Mac Minis are small and don't use a hell of a lot of electricity. And they're not much larger than an AirPort Extreme. And I can attach USB hard drives to this as well and access them over the network much the same. Of course, though, I can also install the Backblaze software and set it off uploading my images, all of my library, up into the cloud, fulfilling both requirements. As I have a rather large library of images, it takes forever to upload them all into Backblaze. So what I did was just started off with just my final select images. I store my images in two different folder structures. My original RAW files, which are basically anything that I didn't delete after a shoot, are stored in a year, month, and day folder structure. So my image library hard drive basically has year folders, starting with everything up to 2001 folder, and then 1 year folder for each year since. Then in each year folder, I have a 01, 02, 03 up to 12 for the months of the year. And each of these folders contains a day folder, the number of the day, for any day in that month on which I shot photos. This library is pretty large at 2.4 terabytes. Whenever I have completed a shoot, though, I, of course, go through the images and select the best shots, which will be, they'll be what I upload to my website for personal work, or I'll provide to clients for assignment work. All of these go into one folder called Finals. And this also contains year folders up to 2011 at the moment. I used to just throw everything into one Finals folder, but I separated them out into years recently to make incremental backups easier. Basically, even my Finals folder is too big to keep all of these images on my internal hard drive on my Mac. So I currently have all of my final selects from 2011 only stored. Of course, making that my only backup is way too risky. And I also need to start off my backup to the cloud. So here's what I do now. The first thing that I do after any shoot is rate my images. And then everything that I decide will be, one of my final selects is given a 5 stars. And I do this while still in the RAW folder, of course, which, that might be, say, 2011, and then a month folder of 08 and a day of, say, 12. And that's all just sitting there on my hard drive on my Mac. If I do any black and white conversions or stitching panoramas together, say, I save a copy of these images right there in the RAW folder too. I then add any titles and captions before I make a copy to my Finals folder, because I want to be able to go back and locate the best shots in my RAW library too. If I'm in a hurry, the next thing that I do at the very least is run a backup script in a piece of software that I've started using called SyncSyncSync. You can try SyncSyncSync as a limited edition freeware and save up to 3 backup jobs. But if you want to save more jobs than that, you have to pay $15. It's well worth the $15 in my opinion, though the guy was a little bit slow sending me my full license. doesn't seem to be automated. You can basically, though, sync folders or just copy new files. I move between modes depending on what folder I'm syncing, but at the moment, when I back up my finals, I'm syncing a folder called 2011 underscore finals from my Mac to finals / 2011 on my external hard drive on my Mac Mini. I also then do a copy backup of my local 2011 RAW folder on my Mac. I do a copy backup here, not a sync, because I delete earlier RAW files from my Mac as the hard disk gets full. If I was to do a sync, not a copy of the newer files, then, you know, after I delete old RAW files off my local hard drive, then they would also be deleted from the hard drive on my Mac Mini, and I don't want that. So these are the first two backups that I do, because once, you know, we're done, once the transfers are completed, Backblaze takes over and starts to upload these images to the cloud. Having just run two backup scripts without plugging in any external USB drives, I now have a copy on my Mac's hard drive and the hard drive attached to my Mac Mini in my studio, and then a third copy that starts to go off into the cloud after just a few hours, that is. Now, that's a good start, but I still need to back up my master library, which is on a 3 terabyte, 3.5-inch hard drive. Although the hard drive that I have attached to my Mac Mini is an external hard drive, I use standard internal 3.5-inch hard drives for most other backups, and I have what are called Nazoku no Tachidai, and that basically translates to nudist stand, to connect these hard disks to my Mac Mini or my MacBook Pro to use or to back up files. The nudist reference here basically comes from the fact that you put naked hard drives into the stand. Being a little bit inhibited, though, I buy clothes for my naked hard drives, as you can see in this photo of my drives in their nudist stand. They're just like rubber or silicone covers that I put on the drives just to hide the bits that we don't want to see. I use sync again to copy images to these hard drives. So this becomes my second local copy once I've deleted the original RAW files from my hard drive on my Mac. And it's a third local copy of my final images because they remain on my Mac for now. Now, you'll probably think that I'm paranoid for doing what I do next, but I actually always buy external hard drives in twos. So once I have my master library disk up to date, I actually put a second identical hard drive into another nudist stand and sync those two. This is to guard against disk failure of the large disks at home. In addition to this, once a year or so, usually when my hard disk starts to get too small for my library, or my library gets too large for my hard disk, and, you know, basically I have to go out and buy larger hard disks, having copied my library to the new disks, I will send my old hard disks, still containing my entire library, to my brother in the UK. And he just stashes them away for me in case something catastrophic happens here in Japan. This, in addition to my cloud copy, are my off-site backups. One other thing that Matt and I discussed was iCloud, which is the new cloud data synchronization solution that will soon be released by Apple. This is built into Mac OS X Lion and will basically allow you to store files in the cloud and sync between all of your Apple devices like iPhones, iPads, in addition to your computers. I have searched and cannot find any information on what the upper limit for the amount of data that you'll be able to store in the iCloud will be. But if it's unlimited, then this would be bad news for companies like Mozy and Backblaze, who also offer unlimited storage. These companies charge a very small yearly fee for their services, but at the moment, it's looking like iCloud will probably be free. That and the tight integration with the Mac OS, you know, the Mac operating system itself, will be very appealing if there's no limit on the amount of data that we can upload. Something to look out for here. Okay, so that's pretty much what I do for backups at home, but what about when I'm out doing photography workshops or tours? Backing up in the cloud is pretty much impossible in the locations that I go, so I have to make sure that I can create multiple backups while on the road. I used to use an Epson portable media storage and viewer, like the P5000 or 7000, but since I started shooting with 64-bit compact flash cards, I don't really need to make a backup of my images while I'm actually physically still in the field. It usually happens back at the hotel now. This is no problem as well because I pretty much always travel with a computer now, so I can just plug in hard drives. To keep weight down, I don't travel with my external 3.5 hard drives. I generally buy small 2.5 inch portable USB hard drives. Again, I have two so that even if I shoot so much that I have to delete the originals from my Mac's hard drive, I can still keep two copies of my files to guard against disk failure. I keep about 200 gigabytes free on my Mac's hard drive, and was able to shoot for a month down in Antarctica this year without deleting any originals from the hard disk. Still though, I plugged in my two Western Digital 1 terabyte portable hard drives every day and backed up my RAW files. With this much space, I can also keep a copy of my final select images on these hard drives so I can show people the RAW files while on the road. This is especially important for me as I'm usually in a teaching role too, so I like to be able to work on my RAW files with the group. Again, I use SyncSyncSync for these backups as it allows you to create and save multiple backup scripts and I just rerun them later. If you want to travel very light, I'm still a fan of portable storage, and after I became frustrated with the relatively small size of the hard drive in my old Epson storage units, I also used the HyperDrive ColorSpace with a 500 gigabyte hard drive installed. These aren't as slick to use as the Epsons, but you can't beat having 500 gigabytes of backup space in a unit not much bigger than a mobile phone. The great thing about both the Epson and the HyperDrives though is that they both allow you to plug in a second hard drive and do a second backup of your data without using a computer. I simply don't feel comfortable reformatting my compact flash cards until I've got two separate copies of my images, so this is really a must for me. Okay, so I'm sure that was heavy going for some of you. I hope you're still with us here. Remember that if you only listen to the podcast, you can go and read the transcript of everything that we just discussed on my blog at mbp.ac/293. Also, another quick thanks to Matt Marshall for getting me started on this topic this week. Good luck with your own backup solution and with your photography, Matt. Thanks for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Flickr, Facebook, and now Google+, as well as Twitter, and of course my blog and the photography forum. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
This is Dave Warner, and I'm the host of the LensFlare35.com podcast. Each week I bring you interviews with some of the top photographers using digital SLR cameras. They share some of their coolest tips and tricks, techniques, and news about what they're up to. So please take a moment to visit the website or subscribe to LensFlare35 on iTunes.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.